third of four lessons on the Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23. And we're talking about the Lord is my shepherd. And tonight, we're dealing with His promise. His promise, or specifically, His promises. Verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And verse 6 then says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So tonight we're going to look at verse 1 and verse 6 of this psalm as we bring the title, the Lord is my shepherd, regarding His promises. You know, the Bible contains lots of promises. There are lots of promises. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. God has a promise that He's going to pour out His wrath upon the ungodly and the unrighteous on the day of judgment. God has made a promise that those who will not serve Him will pay for it. He's made a promise that whatever you sow, you will reap. And if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There's lots of promises in Scripture, both good and bad. Tonight, I want us to focus on some of the good promises that God has made in this psalm. And while they apply specifically to David, they also apply to us. And we can see ourselves in this psalm. And so the first verse, surely goodness and mercy. Let's just stop right there. Goodness and mercy. This is talking about things that are going to follow David. They're guaranteed to follow David and all the faithful followers of God. It's not up for debate. Those who trust in God are going to receive goodness and mercy. They're going to receive it. Now, we are told to be good, and we are told to be merciful. And if we are following God, then we are both good and merciful. We are good to people. We are good in our lives in a relationship with God. We live a holy and pure and upright life. We're going to be good. We tell our children when they leave the house, now be good. Well, that's exactly what God wants us to do too. So if we're following God, we're being good. And we're going to be merciful. That means we're going to treat our fellow man. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We're going to treat our fellow man the way we're supposed to. We're going to be merciful. And if we are doing this, we can guarantee that God is going to shower us with goodness and mercy. And He's going to do this for the rest of our life, all the days of our life. We're going to receive God's blessings. Psalm 31, verses 19 through 20. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you. In the presence of the sons of men, you shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. This is God's protection. And you shall keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. What is He saying? God is saying, I'm going to protect you from the attacks and the criticisms and just the evil of people around you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to take care of you. How many times have you had a close call? A close call. We could talk about a car. You know, you're sitting at a traffic light and the light turns green and you sit there for just a moment. You just sit there for just a moment. You should be going. It's green, but you wait just a moment. And about that time, an 18-wheeler comes barreling through the other way. And if you had gone, you wouldn't be here right now. Okay? Close calls. We all have them. We all have them. Who's to say that God is not preserving your life? Who's to say that God is not protecting you and delivering you? Well, He also, there's so many times when if we were in the wrong place at the wrong time, we could be under the influence of evil people. We could be attacked or affected by the actions of wicked men and women. And so God is taking care of us. We can expect to receive His goodness and His mercy. And now, goodness, we know what that is. That's the goodness of God, where He's providing His blessings for those that love Him. The faithful person can look at your life and you can see God's goodness. You can see, you know, Allison, your daddy says God is good all the time. All the time God is good. He says that He said that since I've known him in 1991, okay, or 1992. I've heard him say that. And it's right. It's right. I have visited in churches all across this country, and I have heard churches, as they greet each other in the morning, they will say, God is good, and the other will say, all the time. So I've heard folks do that. God is good, and He does give us good things. And we've seen that in our own lives. You can see the goodness of God. You can see the way He's blessed you and helped you in times of trial, but also in the good things that have happened in your life. It's because of God's blessings that these good things are happening. God is good, and God is merciful. His mercy, His compassion, His pity for others, and specifically for us. You can see it. You know, and we've done nothing to deserve God's mercy. We've not been merciful enough to deserve God's mercy. We've not been good enough to deserve God's goodness, and yet we receive it from Him anyway. You can see God's mercy in the sacrifice of His Son for those that will believe in Him. Matthew 1, verse 21. And even when you're facing difficulties in your life, you can still see God's goodness and His mercy. In Psalm 86, verse 12 and 13, I will praise You, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify Your name forever, forevermore. For great is Your mercy toward me, and You have delivered my soul from the depths of the grave. God is good and God is merciful. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now I'm going to have to talk about this one for just a moment. God's gifts to the faithful are continual. They do not stop. It's not a one-time blessing. It's an ongoing thing. God expects us to continue to be faithful, and God continues to be good and merciful to us. He gives gifts. Continue for those that love the Lord. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says, the mercies of God are renewed every morning. They're new every morning. The goodness and mercy that comes from God lasts the whole time. We are faithful to God during our time on this earth. And we will enjoy that goodness and that mercy from God only if we remain faithful. Only if we continue to be faithful, because the unfaithful do not receive those benefits from the Lord. Listen to Psalm 34, beginning at verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Isn't that great? But for those that do not remain faithful, God cuts off the remembrance of them from the earth. His face is against them. You don't want God's face against you. Now, I need to say something about this. The goodness and mercy of God shall follow me all the days of my life. In times where there is peace, where there is tranquility, where there is prosperity, where a nation is doing well, there are no attacks from the enemies, there's no plague or outbreak of an epidemic or no natural disasters that take place, you can expect God's blessings without ceasing. You can expect that. But when times of persecution arise, or if a natural disaster comes, both God's people and the wicked will all suffer. Are you listening? You understanding? If we break into some world war, or if suddenly Al-Qaeda or ISIS or somebody attacks and say they blow up the nuclear plant down here, radiation's going to be coming this way. And even God's people will suffer. Even God's people will come to harm from that. That in no way eliminates God's goodness and mercy for His people. David made the statement, I was once young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. He's saying the goodness and mercy of God will continue. But there are times in the Christian life where we will suffer persecution. There are times where our faith is tested. There are times where we will endure hardships and afflictions. There are times when we're going to be disappointed, when people are going to let us down. But it doesn't mean that God has withheld His mercy and His blessings from us. It's simply that God allows life to happen. Death comes, even to the righteous, even to the godly. Goodness comes sometimes, or actually often, to the wicked. God allows the rain to fall on both the just and the unjust. Even the wicked man can grow crops and expect to have a harvest, because God will bless the righteous man with a harvest, and the wicked benefits from being near the righteous in a case like that. Okay? So there are times where the wicked seem to prosper and the righteous suffer, but in no way does that mean that these promises are null and void. God blesses us with His goodness and with His mercy. And do you know what the greatest of these are? See, everything I've mentioned to you is physical. Have you noticed that? Every illustration I've made, every point of affliction or suffering is physical. Have you noticed that? Where are most of God's blessings? Spiritual. We know that Ephesians 1 tells us that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3. And the greatest of these is redemption through His blood. Ephesians 1 verse 5, or verse 7. And so the point of it is God's goodness and mercy will be continuing upon His faithful children, because He continues to forgive us of our sins. He continues to bless us spiritually, even during a drought, even during a famine, even during a plague, even during a war, even during a natural disaster, even during persecution. God will continue to bless His faithful people with goodness and mercy. Yes, the righteous do suffer. It is part of life. But we know that God is there, and that He is the one that's taking care of us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And now the sixth verse. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell. I'll have a home. I when I was traveling with the India work, every weekend, I was in a hotel somewhere, or on a lot of occasions, I was able to meet brethren in other places and stay in their home, but it wasn't my bed. It wasn't my couch. It wasn't my dinner table, and it wasn't my family. Yes, I'm with church members, and I'm with church family, but it's not the same as being home, is it? It's not the same as having a place to dwell. One of the biggest horrors of being homeless is having no place to dwell, no place to call your own, no place to settle down and be at peace and be at rest. You know, we love our homes. We cherish having a place to live, but there are so many that do not have this. And I'm not trying to make us feel bad. We just need to recognize that when we can be of assistance and help to people, we need to be ready to do it. But the point I want you to notice is that God will provide us a place to dwell. And I will dwell. I'm receiving God's goodness and God's mercy in this life, but I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Romans 6 and 8 says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. 2 Timothy 2 and 11, this is a faithful saying, for if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. To dwell with Him doesn't mean just to hear Him or be able to speak to Him, call Him on the phone. It's being with God, with Him, in His presence, always. There is no safer place in the universe. There is no safer place to exist than in the presence of God. And if you're faithful to God in this life, God is with you. Jesus said, I'm with you always to the end of the age. If you are faithful to the Lord is with you every minute of every day. But when we get to heaven, He won't only be with us. We will be with Him. And that's our goal. Sister Dean passed on from this life, and her hope, her desire, was to be with God. He's been with her, but now she's gone to be with Him. And that's what every one of us can hope. That's what every one of us can pray, and that's what every one of us can seek for, is to go and be with God. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. John 14, Jesus said, "My Father's house are many mansions." Some translations say rooms. I don't care if it's a mansion or a room, do you? I don't care if it's a shack out back. I just want to be there. But He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Put your name in that text. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God is making a place for us in eternity. A place in heaven. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what all that involves. You know, the Lord in 6 days made all that is. How long could it possibly take Him to prepare a place for us in heaven? I wouldn't think very long at all. But that's what He's gone back to do. To prepare a place for us. You know, the little widow prepared that room for Elijah. You know? Prepared that room for him. First missionary room. First preacher room. She prepared that room for him, and he would go and stay when he was traveling through that area of the land where he was ministering. God is preparing a place for us to come and to be there forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not only are we with the Father and the Father's with us, but we are in this place of rest and comfort and reward for all of eternity. Forever has no end. Man does not have to die twice. And unless Christ comes back before we die, we may not even face death once. I know the Hebrew writer says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. That's the appointment. But we know that Enoch did not die. We know that Elijah did not die. And we also know that when the Lord comes back in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. I don't see that as death. Some may. I don't see that as death. I see that as simply what He says. We shall be changed. So it's possible we may not even have to face that moment where our heart stops beating and we can't get air to our lungs, and when we're just lying there passing from this life. I'd like to avoid that if I could. So I kind of like the idea of being here when Jesus comes back. That's Robert's thinking. I like the idea of being here to see that, to be a part of that. That just sounds good. And you know what? Whether I live or whether I die, I will see that, because the graves will come forth. I'll come back from the grave, and I will see my Lord coming and calling me up to be with Him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He'll take us home, as the old preacher said, take us home to glory. And I'm looking forward to that. I know you are too. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Folks, if that doesn't comfort us, when we face doubt, when we face fear, when we face dread, frustration, when the wolf is at the door, when we don't know how we're going to pay the bills, when we don't know how we're going to recover physically from this condition, this health condition we've got, and it might be terminal, and it might be the thing that ends our life. But I know that if I am faithful to my God, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Man, that feels good. And I'm excited about that, and I hope that you are too. But now here's the thing. Just like there's dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, there's dwelling in that place of eternal damnation forever. Now, it can be avoided. Matthew 7, 13, 14, it can be avoided, but only if we faithfully serve the Lord. See, there's two ways, and there's two gates. And we're on that straight and narrow way that I referred to this morning. That's why you don't want to go off to the left or off to the right. It's a narrow path. It's a narrow path. You want to stay on the straight and narrow, as they say. But you can avoid hell. You can avoid eternal damnation. Think for a moment with me. The faithful die. But do they stay dead? No. No. The faithful have eternal life. We will continue to live forever, according to Revelation 2 and verse 11. Now the unfaithful, when they die, what do they face? Do they stay dead? No. But they continue to feel the pains of death for all eternity. And they're in a place that's designed for the unfaithful and the rebellious. And they will endure the second death or eternal damnation forever and ever. It says the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever and ever. There is no end to that either. Now, I don't want to bring you down, but we have to recognize that every coin has two sides. And life's destiny, there's two directions. You can go to heaven or you can go to eternal damnation. Those are your two choices. God makes it easy, though. You can be faithful to Him if you'll commit your life to Him, commit yourself to doing His will. And all will live after our bodies stop working. We will all continue to live, but where we live, it makes a difference right now where we will live. What we do right now is what will make the difference. Well, the way we live before God today will determine which place we will live. The end result of our faithfulness is found in eternal life with the Father, where we will abide forever. And it's because of His mercy that we will see this ultimate display of God's goodness and mercy and care and love. These promises were made by David. In effect, inspired, David wrote them, but these promises were made in that day, but they apply today. We, the faithful living here today, we can have the goodness and the mercy of God in our lives, and we can see the goodness of God and know His mercy because of the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we can know the blessings and comfort that God gives us today. We can have all that if we will commit ourselves to doing His will and keep on doing it. And I know that you've made that commitment. I know that you have. But I just want to remind you, you've got everything to gain and nothing to lose if you will follow God. But you've got everything to lose and nothing to gain if you half-heartedly do it, if you're not serious about it. We need to take advantage of God's promises. The shepherd has promised us that we will receive the goodness and mercy of God all the days of our life here. And then we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever on that other side. But we have to be faithful. We have to be committed. And we have to take advantage of God's promises. So we have to decide if we're willing to be faithful to Him so we can know that goodness and mercy. And so we can abide with Him forever in His house, that heavenly abode, heaven itself. Today it's time to choose who we will serve, where we will live forever. So you make that choice. That's your decision. That's your call. I encourage you to choose well. Choose wisely. Choose to serve the Lord and be faithful to Him so that He can bless you. So that His goodness and mercy will be on you all the days of your life here. And so that heaven can be your home there. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we encourage you to come tonight before it's too late. Come to Jesus while you can. If you're subject, come now as we stand and sing.